has sworn the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And the bit really is, the Lord is my banner. And we hold up our hands, or we hold up our hands spiritually, and we declare. And I was thinking about, because obviously the FA Cup final was on yesterday. Louise was watching it when I came back from Buddy's Thanksgiving. And you can tell instantly when you see a football match, you can tell what side the players are on, can't you? Because of the strip that they're wearing. So when someone looks at us, do they know that the Lord is your banner? Do they know that? The Lord is my banner. And so when people look at us, they should know that. They should have some way of knowing that. I've been thinking about ordination. Some people have been asking me about dog collars and whether I get to wear a dog collar. I think some Ealing pastors do wear them in certain contexts. But then I was thinking, actually, how would someone know? I don't wear a cross. I don't have anything on me to show that I'm a Christian. Maybe I should wear something. I don't know. But God is my banner, isn't he? And he's our banner. So people should know we carry the Holy Spirit with us. And the other thing that God spoke to me about was, he was asking me, but I think this is relevant for us, is what battle are you fighting at the moment? Where is the battle in your life? What is it at the moment that is critical? So in each of our lives, the season changes and the battle changes or the focus changes. Sometimes we don't even know and we just kind of go through it all and something else comes at us and something else comes at us and we don't know what's going on. But God doesn't want us to be like that. Moses was on the top of a hill. He could see the battle. He could see which way it was going. And for me, with the ordination coming up on Saturday, it's not the be-all and end-all. In some ways, nothing changes, but it's my position. It's my attitude towards it. So God's been challenging me on that, and it's not been anything super spiritual. All God said to me, I think, was, Ben, I want you to make sure you get some time in prayer each day before the ordination. And that's all he said, you know, but actually, That was necessary for me. And so for you, it might be something different. God might be saying, actually, I want you to read the Bible, or I want you to witness about the gospel, or I want you to do this in church, or whatever. I want you to work on that relationship with that person in your life and pray about it. So what battle are you fighting at the moment, or what battle is God fighting for you? So that was the other thing. But the Lord is our banner. He is our stronghold. I'm just going to double check that I didn't put anything else down. I was saying to Toby before, sometimes I write notes down. Yeah, that's just the other thing, is that our values now as a church, the first one we've put is get a little closer to Jesus every day. Get a little closer to Jesus every day. So, you know, and as we get closer to him, then we start to realize what God's doing in our lives. We start to realize what the critical issues are. And sometimes we need help with that. So you might need a prophetic word or someone to stand with you in prayer on that battleground this morning. That was it.
I've been sitting on this for a few minutes, well, quite a bit. I didn't want to stop the music, but God said, give way, prepare for something new, give way, allow it to happen.
Thank you, Hazel. I liked what Ben was saying, and he used quite a few words. There was lots of things that, you know, like waves of stuff that could speak to so many different people. And my take on it was, what are you contending for in your life at the moment? We really do need to be contending for something, for that something new that Hazel said that God was sharing. We need to be contending for something. And I think it's a challenge to us, not just to let it all happen, but to focus. And the Holy Spirit just loves focus. That's just my experience of the Holy Spirit in groups. He just loves focus. So my challenge is, what are you contending for in your life? And, you know, God will contend on your behalf for you as well. So at the moment, I'm receiving a huge amount of attention from the Holy Spirit. Massive stuff, visitations, encounters. And I think to myself, what more could God do for me? He is so kind, so gracious, and he's impacting me and talking to me. So I'm receiving a huge amount in my spirit and my soul. But my area of contending is, how does this translate? And I don't think it's just for me, but for us as a body and for the body of Christ worldwide, how does the visitation of God translate into the healing? I'm tripartite, just as God is. Okay, so I'm spirit, soul, and body. And I need, and we need, some of these things that the Holy Spirit is bringing to our spirit and soul to be translated into our body. For me, it's healing from pain and weakness. You know, that's what I'm contending for that key to an advance of the kingdom. So my challenge is, what are you contending for?
I'm just going to read a few verses from from Luke chapter 8, verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked the disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." I heard someone say about this, which is a challenge to me that I'm kind of working on, and particularly if we're talking about battling and all those sorts of things, that the storm you can sleep in is the one in which you have authority. And quite often, I try to fix things by great effort and great straining, and often with great anxiety, and find that I get nowhere. It in itself does not resolve things. Quite often, in God's goodness, and I can sing that last song with great honesty, God has been faithful to me all my life. Even in those times when I've been stressing and straining, because he's so good. But we are called to be a people who are not stressing and straining and fighting battles in the wrong kind of way. If we hear in the middle of a storm the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of Jesus, we get a sense of what he is saying that we can say. And we can declare truth into a situation. There might be nobody listening. Doesn't matter. Because if we're able to be at peace in that situation, as Jesus was asleep in the back of this boat that the disciples were scared for their lives, he then was able to speak with authority because he wasn't frightened of the winds and the waves, because he knew something. He had his destiny. He had a word from heaven. He knew, and he was at peace, and he spoke, and something responded. Lord, help us. Help us to be your people who can sleep in a storm and find your peace. Thank you.
I do know what it's like in a storm. I remember going down to Cornwall when I was in my 20s, and I got there and everyone got these lovely big tents, and now I've got this one-man tent, and to get everything in my tent, I had to put it in the car, and then it was just a pain. But the first night I arrived there, and everyone's there with their big tents, I went to sleep. What I didn't realise was I slept through a tail end of a hurricane. When I got up in the morning, there was no big tents left. Everyone had gone. It was just amazing, you know, sleeping through it. But the scripture I got today was, which of the fathers, if your son asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, you give him a scorpion? If you, even though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Toby, I've got something for you.
I don't know if I read. I read this recently about communion, and two things really before we take communion. And there's still opportunity to share if you want to come up and share. Hopefully, we'll have time for that. But one is that Roddy Wilson's Thanksgiving yesterday, for those who knew him, he was Chris Scutt's stepfather. He was 17, he was in the RAF. And he found himself taking communion. He'd not done it before. He didn't know what he was doing. He just went out the front because everyone else was doing it. But as he came up to take communion, he met Jesus. And he became a Christian. He was saved taking communion at 17 and a half. And so we're going to do it slightly differently today, in that we're going to invite you to come up. Because sometimes it's good to do that. If you can't come up, if you want to stay and someone to bring it to you, just once folk have come up, or as they're coming up, just put your hand up and we'll bring it to you. But the second thing, I just wanted to read this because you've got to come up, you think, well, I'm not sure if I should be taking communion. Someone said this: we take communion not because we're doing well, but because we're doing badly. Not because we've arrived, but because we are travelling. Not because we are right, but because we're confused and wrong. Not because we are divine, but because we are human. Not because we are full, but because we are hungry. So if you are hungry, and if you know you need more of God, if you want to get closer to Jesus, that's why we take it. So I've just realized I haven't got one of the things here, but we'll just do it because, you know, that's not... we'll pray for the bread and the wine, and then we'll ask you to come up. And we're not going to kind of call you up row by row, so come up when you're ready to come up. But I'm just going to read, and we're just going to spend a moment just reflecting before we do. It says here in 1 Corinthians 11, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. He who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So what we do as we wait on the Lord is you say, Lord Jesus, just show me anything I've done, I've said, I've thought that is wrong. Just bring it to my mind. And if the Lord speaks to you about something particular, it doesn't matter whether you think you did it wrong or not. What happens is if God reminds you of something you said, then he's convicting you of that. So just say, Lord, I'm sorry. If we're not of that heart to say sorry to the Lord for the things that we've done, then our heart isn't in the right place. And so we just need to just spend that moment just asking him. And it's very quick and easy to ask him. And some people do actually feel, oh, I'm not in the right way to take communion, so I'm not going to take it. And I just want to encourage you, if you're feeling like that this morning, don't deprive yourself of coming forward and saying yes to God. Just say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I know I haven't got it right. I know my heart's not right, but just forgive me. So let's spend a couple of minutes just quietly waiting on him. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you so much that you suffered on the cross for us, that your body was broken, was totally just taken apart for our sins, that you died for our sins. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the suffering that you took for us. We praise you, Lord.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that this blood and this wine, synonymous, Father, it speaks of forgiveness. It speaks, for without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And Father, we take this and we acknowledge that we have forgiveness. We have complete forgiveness over everything, Lord. So, Lord, we can take this and be rejoicing and be thankful that you have done everything for us. So let us come, Father, and take of this wine, acknowledging the blood was shed for each one of us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
So, just to say, the brown bread is the gluten-free, and there's some grape juice if you wanted it rather than wine. Just encourage you, when you feel able to, and it'd be probably good if the musicians did it sooner rather than later.
Jesus, you are the rain.
Has anyone not had bread or wine? Does anyone need it bringing to them who hasn't had it?
Is the love.